On today's episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast, we're joined by one of the bigger trainers around. This man has worked with some of the best talent in the state, but was a big time in his own right. We got Matt McKenzie on today's episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Let's go.
You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. As mentioned at the top, we got one of the more well-known trainers in the state. This guy's working with a bunch of good talent. He's doing a bunch of good things. Right here in Bangor, in my backyard, we got Matt McKenzie on Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good. So, you know, we're recording this in the middle of the afternoon on a Monday, which typically wouldn't be the case because of what's currently going on. So just curious how this whole coronavirus, this COVID-19 is affecting you and your day-to-day business right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly impacting my business. I own a training facility in Bangor that we've had to close down for the time being, you know, during the quarantine. But I'm finding my ways to stay busy. I'm not one to just sit around and be, you know, unproductive. I've got a newborn at home, so I'm spending a lot of time with her. Certainly doing some professional development, you know, going through a mentorship course with Gannon Baker, spending a lot of time with my wife. I'm still a full-time teacher, so sending out a lot of emails and doing some remote learning with my students there, and then keeping in touch with the players that I do train, kind of keep them motivated. So I'm definitely staying busy.
Definitely sounds like it. So mentioned doing the training thing now, but where it was a great player in your own right, could probably still put in work right now. I'm guessing you still, when some of you guys come through, if they get out of the line, you can still put them in their place on the court, I'm guessing, right now.
I'll lace them up every once in a while and play.
Yeah. So we're going to go back and kind of learn your story, kind of figure out how you got to where you are now, and just see what kind of led you to what you're doing in terms
For sure.
of the training stuff. So living in the Bangor area now, where were you actually born and raised, though?
I was born and raised in Warren, Maine, and I went to Madomic Valley High School.
All right. So for those that aren't familiar with Warren, Maine, where exactly is Warren on the map?
Mid-coast, right by Rockland, Camden, Waldoboro. And about an hour and a half away from Bangor.
And I'm guessing it's one of those schools where it's a bunch of smaller communities that kind of make up Madomic High, correct?
It is, yeah. It's a regional high school. Warren, Waldoboro, Union, Friendship, Washington. So a lot of different small towns combined to go to Madomic.
And Madomic High, for those that aren't familiar with it, what's the athletic heritage of Madomic? Is it known for one sport more than others? Is it known for producing a lot of good talent? What's Madomic known for?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a rich tradition in basketball. The community takes the basketball very seriously. A lot of good teams from the early 1970s with Art Dyer through the 80s and 90s. Josh Nash, Scott Graffin was coaching back then. So, you know, a lot of tradition in basketball at Madomic, and that was definitely the sport when I was going through.
And at a young age, were you the type where – you know, you were going to high school games, you were aware of the history, were you a fan of the game, were you a student of the game? What was your earliest recollections of Madomic High School basketball?
Yeah, I was one of those kids that would go to the varsity games and try to get on the court at halftime and get on the court after the game and meet all the players. And, you know, I went to basketball camps in the summertime and got to know some of the guys and the head coach. So I was definitely a fan, a student of the game, and I knew a lot about the history and definitely wanted to be one of those guys someday.
So how about in your actual household? You come from a basketball house or was basketball that you kind of just took a liking to? What was the household like in terms of basketball upbringing?
Yeah, I definitely come from a basketball family. My dad was a big fan of the game, played the game. My grandfather played professionally. He actually spent a year with the Celtics in 1951. My aunt's a college coach. So definitely a lot of basketball around me growing up. So, you know, I had a lot of influences there. So I was playing from a very young age and I always loved it and I still do.
So you mentioned going to games as a kid and stuff like that. And I feel like for a lot of us that just love basketball growing up, our earliest heroes and idols were the guys that were in high school before us. Was that the case for you? And if so, who were some of those guys that went to Madomic that you kind of idolized growing up?
Josh Nash is the name that comes to mind. Josh was a former Mr. Basketball. He was on a full scholarship to University of Maine. He was the guy who I really idolized growing up as a kid. And he'd come back home in the summertime and run the local youth camp. So he was a guy that was a great mentor for me and somebody that I really looked up to. Unfortunately, his college career got cut short due to an injury, but man, he could play when he was healthy.
What was your earliest introduction to organized basketball? I mean, you mentioned that there were summer camps run by like the local high schoolers and stuff like that. But what was your first actual organized team basketball? How early did you get started with that?
I think it was third grade. So I guess that's nowadays that's considered kind of late. But third grade was the first year that I think I played organized basketball. Before that, it was just, shooting outside in the yard and developing a love for the game. But third grade was when we started with the youth basketball league down in Madonna Valley. It was run by the high school basketball coach, and all the games were played either at the elementary school gym or the high school gym. We never traveled out of the town really. But it was a well-run league, and it was competitive. And the high school players would come and referee the games, so it's definitely enjoyable. Good introduction to basketball for sure.
So you mentioned like nowadays starting in third grade is kind of starting late. Obviously, it's kind of changed nowadays where people get into it a lot younger. Curious, it was a different, just a different atmosphere back then in terms of how you kind of got better, where you learned new things, and a lot of it back then was going to basketball camps. Did you go to any of the well-known basketball camps in the state at the time?
I did, yeah. I went to Pine Tree Camp at Colby. I was there almost every single summer, starting in eighth grade, I believe. That was my go-to. I also went to Hoop Camp in Casco on the lake. So yeah, I'd go to basketball camps in the summertime. That was really my way of learning new tools. There were no trainers around at the time, like there are today. So basketball camps, that's where really all that development happened. And then you were expected to take what you learned at the basketball camp and bring it home to work on throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, I feel like it's so different nowadays, especially with the resources kids have access to nowadays. But I kind of feel like the whole basketball camp thing is just not what it used to be. I mean, back in the day, that used to be what, it's like you said, that's where you'd go and learn things, take home with you, and kind of that's how you would get better.
For sure. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Do you remember any of the camps you went to? Usually, like these camps had like they'd bring in like a big time either former player, coach, something like that, like a speaker. Do you remember anyone that kind of came to any of those camps that spoke that just kind of resonated with you?
I do, yeah. Pine Tree Camp was just a phenomenal camp back then. Coach Whitmore and his staff did a great job, and they used to bring in special guests every year. And I do remember Coach Clifford. He's now the head coach of the Orlando Magic. He came in one year and spoke to us and did a demonstration. Togo Palazzi, who was a former Celtic, he came in and did a demonstration, and I'll never forget. He pulled me out of the crowd and had me defend one of his players that he brought in as a demo. So that was a good time. They always had great speakers, and the staff usually was made up of college coaches or ex-college players. So it was big time back then, for sure.
And you mentioned hoop camp. For those that never had the chance to go to hoop camp, what was your hoop camp experience like? I experienced it as a counselor, but I'm guessing as a kid, it's got to be a little bit different. I mean, for those that have never been to hoop camp, it's all outdoors. You're sleeping in cabins. It's not your typical basketball camp, but they do have the dome though. The dome is
They
pretty well
do.
known. What do you remember from your experience going to hoop camp back in the day as an actual player?
So Hoop Camp was my first basketball camp away from home. First really experience away from home overnight, to be honest with you. And it was great. I mean, just a great atmosphere, great environment. It's competitive. Back when I went to Hoop Camp, it was run by the Middlebury College staff. And you get put on a team with kids that you have no idea who they are, where they're from. You stay in a cabin with your counselor or coach, and the games are all outside. The only indoor place, like you said, was the dome, and you only go in there if it's raining. So it was great. We ate home cooked meals at night. Just a really good experience for a young kid. And I think I went there up through middle school, and then in the eighth grade, I started going to Pine Tree.
So you mentioned third grade was kind of like the age locally when you started playing organized ball and stuff like that. What was middle school like? Once again, were you guys still playing just area teams, or did you guys have a traveling schedule at that point?
Yeah, by the time I got to middle school, I was playing on a travel team for Madomic, and we just play local teams like Rockland, Camden, Lincoln, those types of schools. But I wasn't getting into any type of big time travel back then. No AAU. I didn't play AAU until I got to high school.
Well, you mentioned some of the surrounding communities that make up that area, the Midcoast. A lot of great basketball tradition and a lot of good basketball programs in that area. So I'm guessing at a young age, you were going to get up against a lot of talented kids starting very young.
No doubt. A lot of talented players down that way, especially at Camden Hills. Camden Hills just has such a rich tradition. Jeff Hart always did a great job, and there were some big time players coming out of that high school for a long time.
So by the time you get to high school, freshman year would have been what year? 2000 and
Two, I believe,
yeah.
2002.
And coming into your freshman year, where was the Madomic program currently at in terms of level of play? You know, it seems like a lot of schools they kind of go up and down in terms of success levels. It could be they go through talent droughts from time to time or whatever. Was Madomic like that, or was Madomic a pretty steady program and always competitive when you were coming in?
Yeah, no, the program was actually down when I came in. They had just hired a new head coach. He came in my freshman year. But no, they had not been very good for the previous 2 or 3 years. And my freshman year, we actually only won 4 games. So it was down at the time. And, you know, I kind of took that as a challenge to be a part of rebuilding and making that program get back to the top.
So obviously, anytime you jump levels in terms of you know, going to high school, going to college, and stuff like that, there's always an adjustment. What was the biggest adjustment for you coming from middle school and then all of a sudden playing in, it was Class A at the time, right? You guys were Class A North, or Class A would have been East at the time?
Yeah, Class A East, KVAC, just a really, really competitive conference at the time, a ton of talent. And so for me, it was a huge adjustment physically. And then the speed of the game was just something that I had never seen before. I mean, like I mentioned before, I didn't play any AAU until I got to high school. So I hadn't had a chance to really match up against high school kids of that physical stature before. And I had a pretty rude awakening to high school. I mean, I made the varsity team and I was actually a starter for most games. But there were players that I'd match up against night in and night out that were just way out of my league at that time physically, and you know, their ability to change speeds. It was a rude awakening for sure.
Anyone in particular that you remember just matching up with that fresh your freshman year, being like, "Oh my God."
Yeah, Ralph Mims. Ralph Mims played at Brunswick High School, and he was one of the first players I had to match up with my freshman year, and he was an animal. I mean, he went on and played on a full scholarship at Florida State. He was a point guard there and had a nice Division I college career. He was Mr. Basketball, and I'll never forget Brunswick. His team was just filthy, and they came into our gym at Madomic and beat us by like 40 or 50, and it was just demoralizing. But, you know, it also gave me an opportunity to see like what kind of talent really is out there, and that I really had a lot of work to do if I wanted to make my mark.
Yeah, so you mentioned the amount of work you have to put in, and obviously now that's kind of the line of work you're in is helping players get better. But back then, like going from freshman year after getting that experience into sophomore year, how did you approach your off seasons? Were you a very driven individual? Were you all about getting in there, doing drills and doing individual stuff, or were you just the type where you just wanted to play all the time and just playing is how you got better? How did you attack your off seasons?
Yeah, I'd say I found a good balance. I mean, I went to the basketball camps. I'd get together with my teammates and we'd work on our game together. I traveled a lot to the Camden YMCA and we'd play pickup with and against the Rockland and Camden Hills kids. So there was a good balance. I played a lot in my driveway. I had a lot of neighbors that played basketball as well, and we'd get together and work on our game. I had a younger brother growing up who was also a basketball player, so I'd make him go out in the driveway and rebound for me a lot, and I'd beat up on him a lot. So, you know, I had a pretty good balance there, and I had some pretty good mentors as well that would help guide me, but no player development training.
Yeah, a little bit different back then. And another thing you mentioned too that I think is kind of not what it used to be, playing in the driveway. I mean, I think it's making a comeback right now because people don't really have a choice. I know,
It
like
has
in my
to.
neighborhood, there's hoops everywhere and there's kids out there all the time right now. But back then, you did spend a lot of time, you know, getting better in your driveway.
I did. Yeah, I was out there almost every night. My mom had to, you know, yell out off the porch and tell me to come in for dinner. And, you know, I'll never forget the nights, you know, you'd come in and your hands were just black from playing for so many hours and, you know, trying to chip the ice off the driveway during the winter. I mean, that was what it was all about. It made you tougher. It made you really want to get out there and work. And I had some good friends that were bought into that as well. So, yeah, I have a lot of stories from the driveway.
So just curious too, did you come into high school with a good class in terms of guys that also loved the game that were trying to get better? Or were you kind of like the only one from your class who really took the basketball and took it serious?
No, I had a pretty good class, actually. The kids in my class, some of them took a little bit longer to develop just physically. So I was ahead of them there. I was up on the varsity team and they were down on the freshman or JV team, but they all had a love for the game and they all wanted to get better. And by the time we were upperclassmen, we had a pretty good group of players there.
So you mentioned the freshman year was a bit of a rough year, wins and losses wise. Sophomore year, did you guys make a jump? And did you make a jump your sophomore year?
I made a jump personally, just with my skill set and my confidence. As a team, we still struggled. Our leadership wasn't great. The juniors and seniors on that team, they just really, I don't think, knew what it took to lead. So we still continued to struggle, and the league that we played in was just as strong, I feel like. So yeah, sophomore year was a little bit better, but we still hadn't taken that next step.
So you mentioned the schedule. You mentioned having to go against Ralph Mims and a very good Brunswick team. I think they won states at least one of the years he was there.
Yeah, they did.
What was some of the other teams on the schedule like? Back then, I feel like KVAC Class A East was stacked.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it was one of the best conferences in the state. Certainly some good talent down south in the Portland area, but outside of that, KVAC East was where it was at. Coney High School always had good teams. Jack Arbor, he was a stud. He went on and played at Bowdoin. They were very good. Gardner High School was good with Sean McNally. Oxford Hills was a powerhouse. They had Scott Graffam as a coach, and they had a big three with Corey Thielenin and Matt McDonald. Actually, I say big three. They had the twins, the Cothey brothers. They were very good too. And of course, Brunswick, I mentioned before. Skowhegan was also a good squad year in and year out. So definitely a very competitive conference, and you knew every night you were gonna match up with somebody tough.
Yeah, so I remember my junior year going to senior year. My high school coach was actually from the Oxford Hills area, so we actually went there for a summer tournament, and playing against those Oxford Hill guys. And if they were anything like the rest of the KVAC, a bunch of just physically strong high school kids. I feel like it was just a very, very physical league that you played in.
It was, yeah, blue collar, physical, get up and run. Yeah, it was a great conference.
Did you guys play Bangor at all? Was Bangor KVAC?
We did not play Bangor. I think back then it's not that it was classified differently, but I think they played in a conference called the Big East or the PVC maybe. But no, we never matched up against Bangor. But Bangor was tough too. Joe Campbell, Zach Ray, they had some great teams.
So just there was no easy games on the schedule. That's for sure.
That's for sure. You know, another team that was pretty good back then was Nokomis.
Yeah.
Nokomis was really good. They had a big, I think his name was Luke Hayden, and then a guard, Ryan McClellan, who could really shoot. So they were another team to match up with. They were just dominant.
I know that Ryan, I've seen him in a couple men's league tournaments, not so much recently, but, you know, a couple years back, and he could still fill it up. He's tough.
Yeah, he was.
So when you reach junior year, it's kind of the time when you kind of come into your own and, you take on more of a leadership role in the team. You're an upperclassman. You've had some experience, especially in your case where, you already had 2 years of varsity experience under your belt. When did things start getting better for you guys? Maybe wins and losses wise, did you guys make a jump that junior year?
We did. Yeah. That junior year we made the tournament. We were a pretty good team. You know, we started to have some better leadership there, and we started to mesh, and we were really buying into what our coach was asking us to do, and that was to get out and run, play good defense, move the ball. So, yeah, we started to see some growth there that junior year, and it was a lot more fun to be a part of, for sure.
So first tournament appearance, your junior year, would have been the auditorium at the time. For those that aren't familiar with the auditorium, go ahead and just let them know what it's like taking the floor at the Bangor Auditorium for a tournament game.
The Bangor Auditorium is legendary. You know, it's there's just no feeling like walking into the Bangor Auditorium or walking onto that floor for the first time. I mean, the floor itself wasn't anything to brag about. It had dead spots all over it. You never knew, you know, when you dribbled the ball, if it was going to come back up to your hand or not. But just the environment, the atmosphere. I don't know if it was the bleachers that went up to what felt like 100 feet up into the sky or what it was, but it was just nostalgic. It was great. Loved every minute of it.
Were you the type growing up to watch the tournament games on TV during a February school vacation? Were you the type to just park yourself down in front of the TV, put on main PBS, and just watch games all week?
Yeah, I used to watch the games, and my high school coach, actually, my freshman and sophomore year, he'd pack us into his van and drive us up to the Bangor Auditorium just so we had a chance to see what it was like and so we could set goals for ourselves and see what that atmosphere was like to kind of drive us a little bit for the next couple of years.
So obviously making the tournament is a huge step for any program trying to, ultimately win it all. So you achieved that as a junior. Curious going into your senior year, when it came time to setting goals, how much of it was team-based goals versus individual goals? I mean, I'm guessing as an individual, you had things you wanted to achieve as well. How did you go about setting those goals heading into your senior year?
Yeah, so individually, by the end of my junior year, I knew that college was on my radar and I had talked to quite a few schools. So I knew that it was going to be a big summer for me just to develop physically and also, improve my skill set. So I put in a ton of work that summer. I met with a lot of college coaches, went to quite a few camps and really took things to the next level myself. As a team, we also had a lot of growth to do. We played in a lot of different summer leagues, had a lot of great, gritty summer practices. That summer was hands down the best summer of my high school career.
So, I mean, for those that know you now, they know you as a pretty physically imposing, solid guy. Curious if that was the case in high school as well, or when did you kind of grow into the frame that people may know you as having now?
So the scouting report on me, my freshman, sophomore, even probably junior year would have been that I was lanky, very thin frame. I was athletic, but you could probably get physical with me and battle me off the boards, or check me out of the paint. But the summer going into my senior year, I actually put on 25 pounds. I went to the weight room every single day, at the Samoset Resort in Rockport. I had a good lifting partner that really challenged me and everything was all natural, a lot of protein shakes, protein bars. I studied on video how to properly lift and we did it all ourselves and it really paid off for me that senior year.
Obviously, putting on that much weight in a short amount of time, it's gonna affect you. Did you notice a difference whenever you got on the court? A little bit more weight to carry around, or was it more so gave you more confidence that people couldn't bully you or push you around? Like, what did it do for you mentally, adding that size?
Yeah, mentally it was a huge confidence booster. I felt like I could really do a lot more out there and get to the different spaces that I wanted to get to. I was a better finisher around the rim. Nobody could really move me out of the way. I did definitely feel it impact my touch a little bit, especially from the perimeter, but it was something I just had to work through.
So you mentioned earlier too, you didn't really play AAU ball until you got to high school.
Yeah.
What program did you run with once you actually started playing AAU?
So things were different back then. I've told a lot of players I trained this. There weren't as many AAU programs back then. It was really just kind of a select few or handful. I played with Maine Hoops, and Maine Hoops was owned at the time by Lenny Holmes, but my coach was Warren Skillings. We were a very talented team. A lot of players that went on and played in college, but we were always in the thick of the top couple teams in the state, and we traveled off to nationals, and I had a really good AAU experience.
Who were some of your teammates?
Who were some of the teammates?
Yeah.
I played, so we'd rotate guys in and out of our team, and then there was another Maine Hoops team that was also pretty competitive. Mark Sacoby is a name that comes to mind. Andy Tracy, who played at Ellsworth and MCI, he was another teammate of mine. Eric Nelson from Portland, Jeff Manchester. I had a lot of good teammates, and we used to have battles with a team called Port City Hoops, and Port City Hoops had Carlos Strong, who went on and played at BU, and Martin Cleveland, who was eventually a teammate of mine at Husson. So yeah, AAU was strong back then. And I've got a kind of a neat AAU story. My freshman year, my first year playing competitively with AAU, our first tournament, we traveled down to Columbus, Ohio. And the high school state tournament for the state of Ohio happens a little bit later than Maine. So as we're down there doing a first AAU tournament, LeBron James' team is playing in the state title, and we scalped tickets and went and saw his state championship game at Ohio State University.
That was the senior year. That would have been probably his last high school game.
That was his last. Yeah, that was his last high school game. And my teammates and I, we all had to split up. And it was funny. My high school coach and his son actually sat like three rows behind LeBron's mom. Wow. So that was a pretty cool experience.
You mentioned going to that tournament. Do you remember, or any tournaments that you went to, did you guys want to play against anybody who wound up going like either big time D1 or NBA, anything like that?
Yeah. I played a lot of guys that went on and played big time D1 and in the NBA. One name that comes to mind is OJ Mayo, Greg Oden, guys like that. So yeah, it's pretty eye opening. You go to those bigger tournaments and you know, sometimes you just feel like you're a little bit out of your league, but it's good to match up against those guys and see what else is out there.
That could only make you better. And I'm guessing for sure it helped you out going into your senior year. So, I think there was a change, right? Your senior year, you guys dropped from Class A to Class B, right?
We did. Yeah. We dropped from Class A to Class B, and you know, we knew that that was going to happen going into the summer. So we were preparing for some of our matchups, and we played a lot of those schools in the summertime. So yeah, it was exciting.
Still no shortage of talent though, even with the class drop, right?
Not at all.
So who were some of the teams that you wound up playing? Who were on your schedule with the Class B schedule?
Camden Hills, Rockland were both, you know, very close to us. So those were, I would say, our rivals. But the toughest team that we had to match up against was Marana Cook. And Marana Cook was young, but man, they were talented. Ryan Martin, who went on, and I believe he was Mr. Basketball. He was only a sophomore at the time. They had Will Bardaglio, who went on and had a really nice college career at Colby Sawyer. Mike Poulin, who went on and played at USM. They were the team to beat, and we couldn't get it done. We couldn't get by them. That was the one team that we just couldn't beat.
So going into the tournament, what seed did you guys finish with?
You know what? I don't remember what seed we went in. I think it was either two or three.
All right. And so first round, or how far did you guys actually advance?
We made it to the Eastern Main and then lost to Marana Cook. But we had to get through, I believe MCI was one of the teams that we had to get through. I do remember that game really well just because I was matched up against a good friend of mine, Andy Tracy, who was a former AAU teammate of mine and went and played at USM. That was actually my first game at the auditorium that season. We had to play each other.
So you mentioned you ran into Marana Cook, and they had a bunch of guards, and you know, knowing you, you're a little bit bigger. So I'm guessing it was just a contrasting style of plays with you guys and Marana Cook.
It was, yeah. I mean, my whole team was pretty big. My point guard was small, but outside of my point guard, we were all like 6'3", 6'4". So we just didn't match up with them well, and we had a hard time stopping Ryan. I think he went for 41 in the tournament on us, and he was only a sophomore. That was like his coming out party. Right. So, yeah, I mean, hats off to him. He was a tough player.
So before – well, that would have been your last high school game for Madomic, but I'm guessing there was some all-star games for you to play in before high school was actually done. I'm guessing you played in the McDonald's game.
I did.
And who were some of the players in your class across the state? I feel like at that time it was a very, very talented field of players, not just in Southern Maine, but across the entire state. So who were some of the bigger names in your class?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know this, and I tell players that I train this a lot, but we had six Division I scholarship players in the 2006 class. So Carlos Strong went off to BU, Bryant Barr, who went to Davidson and was roommates and best friends with Steph Curry. He was a Division I player. Sean Costigan played at Chevres, went on to University of Maine. Jordan Cook from Hamden played at UMaine. Mark Sacoby from Bangor went to UMaine, and then Kyle Robbins was a seven-footer, and he went to Vermont right out of high school. Jeff Manchester was from Gorham. He went and played on a full ride at Franklin Pierce, and I think he may have been an All-American there. So, I mean, that's seven scholarship kids right there that come to mind. So it was a loaded class and really competitive. So playing in a McDonald's All-Star game with those guys was a lot of fun.
What was the highlight of the weekend? I've heard stories from people that have played in it the day before, I believe. AB plays CD like in a scrimmage. Did you guys do that?
Yeah, we had a practice and scrimmage the day before, and then we did a little visit to the Ronald McDonald House And then the next day was just, you know, the games, the slam dunk contest, which I did do. I made it to the final against Carlos Strong, and he got me. He put it under his legs. I thought I had him with the windmill, but I was wrong.
Do you feel like you were robbed, or was it, or did he win it? Was it the right decision, you feel like?
It was definitely the right decision. Yeah, he shocked us all. It was a fair win.
So the McDonald's game happens right here in Bangor, down at Newman on the campus of Husson, which is where you ultimately went to school. Just curious what the recruiting process was like leading up to making a decision. Were you recruited by a lot of schools, or did it just come down to a handful?
Yeah, I was recruited by a lot of schools. You know, I because I played AAU and because I went to a lot of camps, I feel like I generated a lot of interest, primarily from New England Division III schools. I did have a couple D2 schools contact me, but no scholarship offers there. So, you know, the recruiting process was fun. I enjoyed it. But when it came down to it, it was all about the best fit for me athletically and academically, what I wanted to study and the career I wanted to pursue. And Husson just seemed like it was the best fit.
So what was it about Husson that kind of nailed it down for you?
Well, believe it or not, when I went to Husson on my official visit, I had it pretty set in stone that I was going to go early decision to Bates. I had just done my visit to Bates and I loved it. Liked the guys on the team, really liked Coach Riley, who was coaching there at the time, and assistant coach John Furbush. But went to Husson and went in there with an open mind. And I stayed with a guy by the name of Scott Kissinger, who ended up being a teammate of mine. And we just hit it off. I hit it off with the whole team, played a little pickup with them. They just seemed like my type of guys and a group that I could get along well with and that I would enjoy playing with for the next 4 years. So I'd say just the environment and the vibe that I got being around the guys.
What time of the year was it when you made your decision? Was it before the season, after the season? When did you actually make the decision?
Yeah, I made the decision in January, I believe. So I guess that's considered early nowadays, isn't it? So right around January. It was before I finished my senior year.
All right. So by the time the McDonald's game came around and you played in Newman, you'd already made your decision. For those that aren't familiar with Newman, I would say it's one of the best gyms in the state, if not the best. It's one of the most fun places to go and get a run in the summertime. It's super hot in there, but great floor, great bounce, great rims. And for a Husson home game, a great environment. The college student section is always loud. And they packed that gym. Just for those that aren't familiar with Newman, describe that atmosphere.
It's a great atmosphere. Just like you mentioned, an unbelievable gym to play in. It's got a lot of bounce in the floor. The rims are soft. It's a good shooter's gym. We have a good football program at Husson, so a lot of those players would come out and pack the student section. So it would get pretty rowdy, especially on a Friday night. A great gym to play in. And it was nice to have that experience to play in there at that McDonald's game. And I knew I was going to enjoy it for the next 4 years.
So we mentioned kind of whenever you made the jump from middle school to high school, there's an adjustment. But once again, when you make the jump from high school to college, there's going to be an adjustment period as well. What was the biggest adjustment for you making that jump to college?
The speed. Yeah, it was the speed for sure. It felt like I was right back at square one. I'll never forget my first action as a college player. And I thought that I'd have no problem, you know, seamless transition to the college game. And I was wrong. Just understanding how quickly players move and how quickly you need to make decisions. It's a totally different ball game. And I feel like a lot of players kind of look, not players necessarily, but some people just think Division III basketball, it's not necessarily a high level. They're wrong. It's very competitive. It's fast paced. It's good basketball. And it was an adjustment period for me.
And also, I'm guessing another adjustment too is you go from being in high school and being the man on your team to most times coming in and having to play a role as a freshman. Was that an adjustment as well for you?
It was. Yeah, it was a big adjustment. You know, going from being the guy that gets the ball in his hands all the time to somebody who's playing a very limited role. And so it kind of humbled me and brought me back to reality and reminded me that I had to get back to the drawing board and get back to work.
So when we talk about programs, I think Husson is a great definition of a program where they don't really have any dips or drops. You know, they're pretty much year in, year out. They're going to be one of the best teams in the conference, and they're going to have a really good team. I'm guessing you came into a really good team as well, I'm guessing, with some of the players that were already there.
I did, yeah. My freshman year, my team was loaded with primarily Maine players, to be honest.
Who were some of the better players in the team at that time?
So Jason Harvey was our starting point guard. Jay played at Bucksport. He ended up being a 1,000-point scorer in college. Tyler Muzzy was from Greenville. He was a senior at the time, all-conference kid, scored over 1,000 points. Martin Cleveland came in from Deering High School. So those were definitely the big three on that team. But, you know, our role players were also strong. Brock Bradford came in with me as a freshman, and he played some valuable minutes our freshman year. Blaine Meehan, who played at Hampden, he came in and played some valuable minutes. So, you know, a lot of main guys that were playing a big role for that good team.
What were your summers like in college? Just curious. Obviously, I always wanted to get better. Just curious, you know, whenever you get to college, you kind of have more resources in terms of what's available to you, the coaching and stuff like that. Curious how you attacked your summers in college and trying to get better.
Yeah, in college, I started to learn a little bit more about, you know, what it took to really prepare for that kind of game. So my workouts were a little bit more organized, I guess, or well-planned. I had a pretty good balance of working out in the weight room and working out on the court. I usually got with either former high school teammates or other college players in the area when I'd go home for the summer and work out with them. So everything was really driven based on what my individual goals were and how I thought I need to improve to make the best contribution to my team.
And I feel like when it comes to Huston, you know, the Coach Caruso is very much responsible for everything good with that program in terms of the players he brings it every year, the high level of play. What was it like playing for him, and what kind of coach was he like?
Yeah, Coach Caruso does a great job. He has a great program with a lot of tradition. He expects a lot out of his players. He's very organized, and he expects a lot. You know, he always talks about attention to detail, and that's something that I feel like I learned playing for him. One thing that I think he really does well with is ATOs after timeout plays and putting players in position to succeed. So, yeah, I mean, he's a great coach. I learned a lot from him.
So once you get to college, it's a little bit different than high school ball, where, you know, the high school basketball season is a lot shorter compared to the college basketball season, pretty much from when you step on campus to pretty much when the spring semester wraps up. You're either doing, you know, off-season stuff, preseason stuff, the season itself. For you, at any point, did it become almost too much? Did it become maybe less fun just because of, you know, the amount of time you were in the gym for practices, the amount of time you were on the road traveling? Did that ever take away from your joy for the game, or didn't really matter? You just love to hoop.
I just love to hoop. You know, I saw it happen to some of my teammates, some guys that I was around. They felt like they were burnt out. I feel like that happened to some of the guys that kind of fell by the wayside and didn't get into the rotation. They kind of lost that passion for the game. But for me, I always loved it. I never really lost that passion for the game at all. But I can see how it could happen to people. And some of my closest friends, you know, they felt like they had that burnout. And so it's a real thing.
Looking back on the college years, what was the high point for you? What do you think of most fondly, or your most favorite moment from the Huston days?
My junior year, we won the conference, the North Atlantic Conference, and we had an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. So that was definitely my high point. We weren't able to make it back there my senior year, but that junior year was just special. We had a really good group of kids, great teammates. We bonded well. We started to really kind of hit our high point towards the end of the season, going into the tournament. I was playing really good basketball at the time, personally. So that was my high point.
So except for the small, small few who get to keep playing basketball professionally after college, you know, for the rest of us, we need to think long-term and find a job, figure out what we're going to do with our lives. You obviously seem like you've got it figured out now, but curious, at what point did you kind of start looking ahead or think about what you may like to do once college was done?
Yeah. So I graduated with a teaching degree, and I knew that I wanted to, you know, work with kids. I knew that I wanted to give back to the game a little bit that I love. So I wanted to pursue a degree in education, or a career in education and coaching. So my initial thought was that I was going to leave the state of Maine for a little while and see what else is out there. So upon graduation, I went down to North Carolina, and I interviewed for two assistant coaching jobs with JUCOs at Cape Fear Community College and at Brunswick Community College, and had a pretty interesting interview experience down there. At Brunswick Community College, I interviewed with the head coach and the AD for about 30 minutes, and I thought I nailed it. I thought he did a great job, and it was my impression that the interview was over, and they were going to give me a call in a couple of days and let me know if I got the job. But then they said, hey, you know, Matt, do you have sneakers out in your rental car by any chance? And I said, yeah, I do, actually. And they said, well, we've got a group of players coming in. We'd like it if you'd work them out for about an hour while we watch, just to kind of get a feel for how you interact and teach players. So that was kind of like a hands-on interview for me. And after that workout, they offered me the job. And so I was pretty convinced at that time that that's where I was going to be. But when I got back from North Carolina, I was offered a teaching job in Bangor and an opportunity to coach right at Husson where I went with the women's program. And so I just felt like that had a little bit more security, and I decided to stay put.
And curious, you know, when you're a player, a lot of times you'll take things from maybe other players or from coaches and kind of incorporate it into your playing style, your skill set. Whenever you made the transition into coaching, I'm curious, at what point did you start grabbing things or really paying attention to some of the things that other coaches did? Obviously, Chrissy, the Husson girls coach, has been just as successful as Coach Caruso at Husson in her own right. Curious, when you started picking the brains of all these different coaches and kind of, you know, putting it into how you approached teaching the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was my first year out of college. That's when I realized, all right, it's time to really be a sponge and start to learn different coaching styles and understand that, you know, there's not just one way to teach the game. So at that point, I started to obviously, you know, take in everything I could from Kissy, but also I started to go to like leadership conferences, coaching conferences, study the game in different ways than I did when I was a player. You know, I was trying to find every single way I could to connect with players. And my biggest passion was in player development. So that's kind of the route that I took. And that was one of my roles as an assistant coach for 9 years.
So obviously the assistant coach kind of focusing on player development. We talked about when you were younger, going to basketball camps and being attending the camps. Did you have a chance to go back to some of these camps later on as a counselor, as a coach?
I did. Yeah. I got a chance to work at a lot of camps, mainly through my college years in the summertime. I'd go back and work at those camps and pick up some different things and made a lot of connections actually doing that. You know, I got a chance to talk to a lot of different college coaches and former players, and that was a lot of fun.
And I think the best part about being a counselor at some of these camps is when the kids go to bed, the counselors get to play, and you get to participate in some pretty heated, competitive summer pickup sessions, I'm guessing, at some of these camps. Do you remember going against some guys maybe you didn't get a chance to run into during your Husson days or college days that you got to play pickup with in the summer at some of these camps?
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend any college player that's looking for a job in the summertime, go off and work at these camps, because the pickup basketball at night, it's unbelievable. It's competitive. Sometimes it gets a little bit too competitive. No referees, but man, it's good for you. So yeah, some of the players that I ran into in the summertime, Nick Pilot, who played at Valley High School and played at Plymouth State, he was somebody that would always work those camps, and we'd run into him. Brian Andre played at UMaine, at Buffalo. He was another guy. Man, they were just so many names that would come back and work at those camps. And it was nice to get a chance to play with all them.
Yeah. I remember, like, at one point I worked the Pine Tree Camp. And at one point I was on the floor and I looked around and it was Nick Pilot, Robert Pillsbury, Jamal Katerina, who went to Deering, and Walter Phillips, who also went to Deering. Like, it's just the atmosphere in the summertime. So definitely a chance to get better in the summertime doing that stuff.
No doubt.
Curious how you got to where you're at right now. So Results Basketball. When did that whole thing come about? How did it come about? What were the early days like for you?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know this, but Results Basketball has actually been around for about 10 years. So my first year as a teacher, that fall, I got together with a former assistant coach of mine from Husson, Mark Baxter. And Mark was a former high school coach for a lot of years, actually coached up in Fort Kent, where you're from, for a little bit.
Yep.
And so the two of us, we had a pretty good connection, a good friendship, and we got along well. So we ran a clinic in the Blue Hill area that fall, and it went really well. We thought it was really successful. The kids, you know, they received it well, and a lot of the parents enjoyed what they saw. So we decided that this might be something that we continue to do together. go around to different communities and offer what we thought was a high quality clinic at an affordable price. And we named it Results Basketball. So it actually started with player development clinics, and we travel around the state to do those. And then from there, it kind of took off into the personal training and small group training.
So just curious, early on it was a lot of clinic based stuff. Do you have a preference? Like, do you enjoy one thing more than the other? I mean, I'm guessing, working with kids and just seeing the joy on their face, being able to share something as special as basketball, something that means a lot to you, being able to, help these kids out and get better. Do you enjoy that part more, or is it the actual skill development, being in the gym with one individual and seeing them progress? Like, do you have one or the other that you enjoy more?
I wouldn't say that I enjoy one over the other. You know, anytime that I can get in the gym and work with players that want to be there, I'm happy. I mean, the clinic is a different type of atmosphere, a different type of environment. You're teaching to a larger group of kids. It's not as detailed. It's more, just teaching general specifics or fundamentals of the game. But I really enjoy doing that and giving the kids that's, something that they don't get to see every day. But on the individual side of things, I also see a lot of value and really enjoy breaking down specifics to an individual player's game and studying, game film on a player and being able to show them different parts that they really, really need to zero in on. And so I think that's got a lot of value too. And I really enjoy doing both.
So much like anything, if you do something for long enough, you're going to see growth, you're going to get better at it. Just curious, from the trainer standpoint, where have you seen the most growth in yourself from those early days running clinics to, having your own gym space now, working with a lot of very talented individuals? What's been the biggest growth in you from those early days to where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, if I were to look at myself as a trainer or somebody who's working with kids 10 years ago compared to myself now, it's amazing how much I feel like I've learned and how much I've improved. Just my own knowledge and my ability to teach what I feel like is the best way. So, I've been lucky enough to surround myself with great mentors. And I feel like in anything you do, you should always try to seek out who does things the best. And over the last couple of years, I've had a chance to, talk to, meet some of the best trainers in the game across the country. Drew Hanlon, Gannon Baker is somebody who is definitely a great mentor to me. And we've chatted often. He came up and ran a clinic with me last year. And as soon as this quarantine ends, we're planning to do another event together in August. So, I feel like I've learned a lot from people that have done it well before me. And I'd like to continue to get better every single day.
So you mentioned the humble beginnings doing clinics, down east and down on the mid coast. So now having your own gym space, what are some things that you're offering now that you didn't have earlier on?
Yeah. So a little over a year ago, I realized, if I'm going to continue to do this on more of a full-time basis, I need my own facility. And so I partnered with a sports performance coach who had a good reputation in the area. He works with a lot of the athletes that I train, and we decided to go in on a full-time facility together, and it allows us to offer just so much more than what I was able to when I was jumping gym to gym and renting space and sneaking into gyms to work with players. So now I'm able to run programs from the very foundational level. So I do a program called Rookies for kindergarten through second graders. I run a program called Foundations for third and fourth graders. I run small group training for fourth through sixth graders. And then I do all of my, private small group and individual training for players in middle, high school, and college. And partnering with that sports performance coach, Sean Demaray, it's allowed me to do some crossover training too. So we can offer athletes the opportunity to come in, work out with him, get their strength and conditioning, and also their player development training within one stop. We're kind of like a one-stop facility.
And you mentioned earlier on just how busy you currently are with a newborn. You work a full-time job. You do this. For those that may not know everything that goes into it, some people may see video clips of you working out with somebody and being like, oh, maybe they just show up and do something. But curious as to how much time and effort you put into an individual. I mean, I'm guessing that you go into an offseason with a game plan. During their season, you're monitoring their progress, seeing things they can get better at, watching film, watching games. How much actual time and effort do you put into a single individual?
Yeah, I put in a lot of work. I think maybe some people might think, these trainers, they step on the court and they just run a player through drills. And that's not what it's about. You know, you really have to know what drives a player. You need to know what a player's strengths are, what a player's weaknesses are, how to help them get to their spots, how to help them be more successful. So studying film, watching them play throughout the season, putting them in positions where they're uncomfortable, trying to expose them a little bit, that's what it's all about. So there is a lot of preparation that goes into it, a lot of reflection, some trial and error. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot, but I enjoy every minute of it. I mean, it's part of the process.
Speaking of process, I'm guessing this would be the time of year in which you'd be getting to work with a lot of guys here. For a lot of them, this is their off season, probably just started, but due to the current situation, can't exactly get in the gym here. So I'm guessing kind of leading up to the season, busy at that time, being in the gym with your guys, during their actual season, a lot of time just, you know, keeping tabs on them and seeing what they're up to, seeing how they're performing. But I'm guessing, you know, right now would be go time for you, but can't really do that right now.
Right. Yeah, it's challenging. The fall is always really busy. The winter, I focus a little bit more on my younger players, like I mentioned before, my programs with the rookies and foundations. But the springtime is when it really ramps up. And before this coronavirus quarantine, things were really starting to just, you know, bust at the seams. So starting at like 2:30, 3 o'clock every day, we'd have players in and out of there right up until about 9:30 at night, 5 days a week, and then the weekends would be busy. So now it's about finding creative ways to keep the players engaged and keep them working hard. And it's a new thing for all of us. I think we're all learning as we go.
Yeah, now something else I was going to ask. This has got to be pushing your creativity as well, just trying to find different ways to keep your players engaged and keep helping them get better. Have you found anything super creative or different ways to kind of keep you guys engaged?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have, you know, a text message thread, or I'll reach out to parents and players and, you know, give them ideas of things that they can do at home, you know, depending on what they have for resources. For every player, it's a little bit different. You know, some players, they're lucky enough to have a court outside in their driveway, and other players, they don't. Some players have a big basement or a big garage that they can get out there and work on at least some ball handling and some footwork, and some don't. So I think you have to kind of treat every situation a little bit differently. But yeah, I've been in a lot of communication with parents and players and trying to keep them engaged. I'm challenging them to study the game a little bit outside of just getting in work on their own. So watching college games, watching pro games, watching game film of themselves, I think that's really important. So just continue to study and develop a higher basketball IQ during this time is also something that they can do to develop.
So obviously results basketball has shown some results with some of the players you work out with, some of the guys you train, Bryce probably being the more well-known, just named Mr. Basketball. Sam Martin, another one from Bangor, who showed a lot of improvement this year as well. Just curious if you can give us some names for maybe some players to watch. It's a bit of a quiet time right now. We don't have much going on, but curious who else you got coming up right now that people maybe should be looking out for next season once basketball returns.
Yeah, so outside the senior class, so incoming seniors, I'd say Andrew Schwez. Andrew Schwez is a tough physical player from Bangor, good skill set. He's going to be one to watch. Dylan Huff and Colby Smith from Brewer High School. TJ Hennigan is another one. He was a 6'7 sophomore big from Hamden, teammate of Bryce's, you know, this past season. He had a kind of a coming out party, I feel like, towards the end of the season. He's one to watch. So those would be some on the boys side. On the girls side, I've had an opportunity to work with AAU girls club called Maine React, which I helped found with Kissy. And we've got a lot of players coming up through that system too that are really fun to watch. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent still in the state. And whether they're working with me or working with other trainers, I love how kids have just bought into developing and getting better. You know, Maine basketball is improving, and it's great to see.
So hopefully this whole COVID-19 thing here passes sooner than later. And if it does, what are some things that we can be looking out for from React basketball this summer?
For results or for Maine React?
I'm sorry. For results. My bad. Results.
Yeah, for results. Yeah, I've got a lot of things planned. And hopefully, you know, this whole quarantine ends sooner than later so they can actually come to fruition. But, you know, every summer I usually – you know, partner with Mark, and we run a variety of clinics and camps, usually 5 or 6, and we'll travel to different communities. We also have the ability to bring in some special guests and run clinics. I've developed a pretty neat friendship with Brian Scalabrini, Scal. He's been up here the last couple summers, and this summer he's planning on coming up and staying for a week and actually helping me out in some training sessions right at the gym. So I've got that planned. I mentioned Gannon Baker. Gannon Baker is planning on coming up in August and running a 3-day camp with me. I'm planning on traveling out to Las Vegas and helping out with the pre-draft for a couple of days with Joe Abunasar. So I'm hoping that I still have the opportunity to do that. And then something that we've been working on over the last couple of weeks is called the Maine Pro Skills Clinic. And so I've been in contact with a lot of former Maine high school players that have gone on and played professionally overseas. Nick Cantor Medley, Troy Barneys, Toby Martin, Emily Ellis, who was a former UMaine player. So I've been in contact with them and partnered with the First National Bank, and we're planning to run a free clinic with those pros to help raise money for families that need help rebounding from this economic fallout. So I'm really looking forward to that one. That I feel like is going to be the highlight of the summer if we can make it happen. And so lots of things planned, but let's just it's just a waiting game now as to when we can actually do them.
Absolutely. A lot of exciting things right there. So all kinds of big things on the way. Before we get up out of here, I want to do a quick rapid fire with you real quick.
Just a
bunch of random topics, and we'll see what we can come up with for answers before we get up out of here. So see what we can come up with here. First one, your first in-game dunk.
Freshman year of high school at Mount Ararat, two-handed. I thought I was going to miss it, and I was scared because I knew my coach said if I miss a dunk, I was going to get yanked.
If you could dunk on any one of your former teammates, who would you want to dunk on?
Tyler Muzzy.
Okay. All right. Least favorite road trip?
In high school, that would be Oxford Hills. In college, I would say Castleton.
Toughest gym to play in? Toughest road game?
Toughest road game. Different. In high school, I'd say the toughest place to play in would have been Lawrence. I played at Lawrence High School through my freshman to junior year. That was a really, really tough place to play in, but I did have some pretty good games there. And in college, UMaine Farmington.
Your favorite place for a home game, packed house at Madamak High on a Friday night or packed house in Newman at Husson on a Friday night?
I got to go with my hometown, Madamak Valley.
Okay. safe bet right there. Who was the toughest player you ever went up against? Could be college or high school.
Well, I mean, we mentioned going up against some of those future NBA players in AAU, OJ Mayo. Yeah. So I guess I'd have to go with those guys. But as far as in Maine, Ralph Mims would have been the man.
Favorite basketball player growing up?
Yeah, Michael Jordan. And I was also a big Paul Pierce fan.
Solid choices right there. Favorite shoes you played in?
Yeah, so back then it was the Vince Carter Nike Shox BB4s, and I think they're actually making a comeback right now. They did like a re-release, so yeah. I think I might have to cop a pair of those.
It's not a bad choice right there. There we go, rapid fire right there with Matt. So before we get up out of here, I always give the guests a chance to say a little something before we get up out of here. If you want to break some breaking news, I love breaking news on Big Time. If not, you just want to say anything at all, this is your chance to get anything off your chest that you may want to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a few words of encouragement, I guess, to the players out there who are at home in quarantine, whether they work with me or they don't, you know, instead of focusing on how bad this is, just try to embrace it, spend quality time with your family. And from a basketball standpoint, try to use your creativity and stay on the grind. I read a quote the other day from Tim Grover, who's MJ's former trainer. And he said that adversity doesn't stop or slow down the greats. It energizes and elevates them. So, you know, continue to put in work from home, whether it's outside in the driveway, in the basement, in the garage, study film, read a book, you know, whether you need to improve your leadership or develop some grit. Use this time to not only sharpen your skills, but sharpen your mind and your IQ. And as far as breaking news, I won't break any news, but by the time this podcast is put live or put out there, there will be a commitment for one of my guys. And so just want to congratulate Isaac Varney on committing to play at Husson.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for him.
So Husson's loading up. They're getting a bunch of Maine kids here.
They are. Yeah, I think they're going to have a nice class with him and Parker, and they had a transfer with Cam Wood. So, yeah, they're loading up.
Nice. So thank you to Matt for coming through on Big Time the podcast. Actually, this is Big Time Hoops the podcast.
You
Thank you
got
to
it.
him, and anyone who wants to see what's going on his side with results, you can follow him at Results Basketball on Instagram, right?
You got it.
And then any other social media plugs?
Yeah, I've got Facebook and Twitter as well.
There you go. So make sure to check him out on there. And we're also going to promote anything he's got going on this summer here. So hopefully this whole Corona thing goes away quickly so we can get back to
For
hooping.
sure.
So thank you for listening, everybody. Make sure to check out all of our older episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're on YouTube, and just stay tuned. Stay tuned for all these big announcements and things coming through on Instagram as well. That's it for this week. We will see you next time.